Right now, I'm very happy to introduce to you Bob Edgar. He's CEO of the group Common Cause, who formerly served as General Secretary of the National Council of the Churches of Christ, USA, and before that, a six-term congressman from Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program, Bob Edgar. Appreciate you making time for us.
Well, it's great to be with you tonight.
Say a word, if you would, about the work of Common Cause. I would dare say most listeners have heard of Common Cause and know a little bit of what you guys do, but give us an update.
Common Cause was founded 40 years ago by John Gardner, who was a moderate Republican who believed that everyone had lobbyists in Washington except average ordinary citizens. He organized in 1970, and for 40 years we've been working on ethics and lobbying reform and good government issues. We do a lot of work around public financing, where we've installed that in Arizona, Maine, and Connecticut, and would like to see that good virus spread across the nation. We do a lot of work on issues like trying to modify Senate rules so that the Senate works better. We tried to help the House of Representatives have a better ethics process by setting up an independent ethics commission that's external to the partisanship in the House of Representatives. And the good thing about Common Cause is we have staff in 21 states, an organization in 37 states across the country where we do a lot of work locally. So Common Cause is just one of those good government organizations that, working with others, is trying to keep focus on cleaning up our government and making democracy work for all people.
Thank you for that, Bob Edgar. And we invited you here to discuss what I think is a grim anniversary. The January 21st, last Friday, was the first anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling in the Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission case that, by a 5-4 decision, ushered in an era of unlimited spending by corporations in U.S. election campaigns under the doctrine that money is speech, protected by the Constitution's First Amendment, as articulated by the Supreme Court. Bob Edgar, maybe say a word about that Citizens United decision and what your group is alleging right now in terms of a conflict of interest that may have existed when the Supreme Court justices made that ruling.
Well, you're right in mentioning Citizens United and the fact that they came down and said money is speech, and for the first time gave corporations and labor unions, but particularly corporations, the opportunity to dip into their corporate treasuries and spend that on independent expenditures for campaigns. I don't think anyone in your listening audience thought that the day before the Citizens United case came down that corporations and labor unions didn't have access and a voice in our political system. What this does is simply open up their treasuries to spend even more, and we saw that in the midterm election. So on the first anniversary of the Citizens United case, which, as you rightly said, was a very narrow decision, 5-4, we did a little investigation, and we discovered that two of the Supreme Court justices that voted on the side of the majority, the conservative side, two of them had been going and attending a meeting hosted by the Koch brothers, who run the second largest business in the United States. And for the last 30 years, the Koch brothers have been trying to elect House and Senate members in Washington who will serve the corporate interest and not the public's interest. We discovered that Justice Scalia went in 07 and Justice Thomas went in 08. And suddenly in 2009, the Supreme Court took a very narrow case around Citizens United, and they expanded that case dramatically and not only indicated that corporations have freedom of speech, but said that corporations are persons and should, in fact, have many of the rights that individuals have. Therefore, they should be able to spend all the money that they want. On Thursday of last week, we sent a letter to the Attorney General, asking the Attorney General to investigate our allegation that Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas had a conflict of interest. We're specifically focused on them having intimate relations with an awful lot of conservative partisan political organizations. But in Justice Thomas's case, it even goes further. His wife headed up a group called Liberty Central. And in our investigation and research, we discovered that Justice Thomas, for 13 years, had failed to report his wife's income on a mandatory financial statement that all justices and federal judges were supposed to report on. So on Thursday, we brought up the issue of conflict of interest, and on Friday, we raised the issue with the Justice Department about the Justice Thomas's failure to comply. And today, Justice Thomas went back and resubmitted, corrected 13 years of false statements where he checked the box on his financial statement that his wife had no income for the past 13 years, even though through independent investigations they have discovered that he in fact did have a spouse that was fully employed. And one of the interesting things today is he said the problem was he didn't understand the form, financial disclosure, and made me laugh to think that a Supreme Court justice couldn't fill out a simple financial reporting form and yet has to deal with so many issues that impact on all Americans across the country. We hope that this will put a little chill in the hearts of the justices to recognize that they're justices for all the people. And today, Justice Scalia decided to go and speak to the Tea Party on Capitol Hill. We think that was an outrage as well. So I've been spending the last 5 days poking at the Supreme Court, but doing it in order to remind those justices that they are also part of our democracy and should be interested in representing all of us and not simply siding with one political ideology over others.
We're speaking tonight on Counterpoint with Bob Edgar, CEO of the group Common Cause. Bob, what's been the reaction of the Justice Department to your formal request for an investigation of both Justices Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia about their possible conflicts of interest in the Citizens United case?
We haven't gotten any response to our request to Attorney General Holter, but we did get a letter today indicating that Justice Thomas has corrected his forms. That's the only response we've gotten to these requests for investigation. These things take more time than they should, but I'm willing to give them as much time as they need to do the proper investigation. Obviously, there's a separation of powers issue, but we should remember that the Justice Department was, in fact, involved in the Citizens United case. They were defending the minority position. Had Sandra Day O'Connor still been on the court, the decision would have been 5-4 the other way. So we contend that both Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas should have recused themselves, and we would hope that if the allegations that we've made are in fact accurate, that Justice Roberts will have to vacate that decision and start over.
Yeah, I want to certainly get to the process you can prove the case that they did have a conflict of interest. But Bob Edgar, talk a little bit, if you would, about the role of the Koch brothers, these multimillionaires who have funded the Tea Party groups and other right-wing organizations across the United States. What is their involvement specifically with Justice Thomas and Scalia?
Well, Charles and David Koch, these two multibillionaires, have for 30 years funded much of the conservative think tanks and conservative efforts to elect public officials who are really representative of corporate interest. These two gentlemen have seminars out in Palm Springs. They're having one this coming weekend, and Common Cause is organizing with a whole host of other groups kind of a shadow conference to be outside of their convention center and raising issues, because what they've done is they've put their money into secret efforts to campaign against elected officials. They have put their money behind candidates that support oil interest and coal interest and health care interest and insurance interest. And we just think that much of that money, because of Citizens United, could in fact be money that comes from foreign governments. It could be money that comes from defense contractors. And it's clearly a lot of money that they themselves have put in as industrialists here in the United States. And we just want to expose that. Most Americans think that democracy is based on we the people, and yet over the course of the last couple of years, the evidence is building up that more of our representatives are beholden because of the way campaigns are financed by these special interests. And the Koch brothers are one of the poster, they're the poster children of how not to participate in democracy.
Bob, I wonder, legally, what kind of hurdles do you have to get over to prove the idea that there was indeed a conflict of interest here with these two justices in the Citizens United case? And then the next question you alluded to earlier was, what happens if they do find, the Justice Department finds that there was indeed a conflict of interest and the decision in that case is vacated?
Well, it gets very complicated. First thing that has to happen is that Attorney General Holter has to agree to do the investigation. Then he will assign some of the Justice Department folks to investigate the connection, check out the information that we've shared, and we have an invitation from the Koch brothers that brag about having Scalia and Thomas appear before their workshops and seminars. These are secretive events, closed to the general public, closed to the press, and we'd like to know what was discussed at those events. Maybe they were simply innocent meetings. But if there's any evidence found that there was conversation about how the justice's decision on Citizens United could have been impacted both before and during the course of the Supreme Court's action, then the Solicitor General would present that to Chief Justice Roberts and call upon Chief Justice Roberts to pursue remedies within the Supreme Court. Also, all lawyers, and there's lawyers in the Justice Department and lawyers in the Supreme Court, are committed to recusing themselves if, in fact, there is a conflict of interest. Justice Kagan, who just arrived on the court, has recused herself on a number of cases that she only had incidental relationship with as Solicitor General. Other justices have recused themselves. Justice Thomas and Scalia have been less willing to say they would step aside and avoid a conflict of interest. We think that given their past activities, particularly with ultra-conservative right-wing political entities, soil their well, and we would hope that if the finding is true, that they would vacate the Citizens United case. If nothing else, our hope is that putting public pressure on them will get them to rethink some of their activities, including what Scalia did today. He was invited by a Congresswoman, a Bachman from Minnesota, who is the leader of the Tea Party congresspeople, to go to Capitol Hill and speak in a closed session, not open to the media. We have no idea what they talked about and what the event was scheduled to review, and we think that is a blatant conflict of interest.
Looking at the history of Supreme Court justices, have there been any other similar activities on the part of justices openly engaging in the politics of the day rather than staying in their marble building there in Washington?
There have been some instances in the distant past, not in recent memory, Most of the justices, like Sandra Day O'Connor and Justice Stevens, recognize that they have a very special role, that there are 9 persons selected to review and analyze the issues that we face. They get into pretty complicated issues. Remember, in year 2000, they decided that George Bush is president over Al Gore. That was a very controversial decision. Again, it was a very narrow one-vote decision. So we think that the justices should be above the appearance of impropriety, and in these two cases, we think that boundary line has been crossed, and we would hope that they are at least embarrassed enough to begin to rethink their association with these ultra-conservative right-wing political forces. They should be representing conservatives, moderates, liberals, Democrats, independents, Republicans, all people of all political persuasions, and not siding with one or the other.
We're speaking with Bob Edgar, CEO of the group Common Cause, and we're talking about his group's challenge to the Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission Supreme Court ruling that allows corporations and unions, but mostly, of course, corporations having pretty much unlimited money to spend in election campaigns in this country. And Bob Edgar, I assume that if this case were started again from scratch and reheard in the Supreme Court with the recusal of Scalia and Thomas, that the case would go the other way. Is that your feeling?
I believe it would if the current case were reheard. We think it would not only go the other way, but we think it's a great principle. This idea that corporations are persons, this may be a little harsh for your audience, but my wife is a registered nurse, and her comment to me was she'll believe that corporations are persons the day after they have a colonoscopy. We need corporations to do their thing. We need in a capitalist system for corporations to be good citizens, but not persons. We think persons are persons and corporations are corporations. And we think, given the complication of the corporate world, we're very close to having foreign corporations control much of our political debate. We're concerned that shareholders and stockholders have little or no input into the decisions when corporate treasuries are dipped into for partisan political purposes. We think the system of political action committees worked pretty well before this decision came down. Corporations didn't need this extra boost. And frankly, Common Cause would prefer that all special interests get out of the process of funding elections, and that we have a voluntary system of public financing, the House of Representatives and the Senate. We have a bill that's called the Fair Elections Now Bill, patterned after what we are doing in Connecticut and Maine and Arizona, where candidates would voluntarily not take any special interest money, raise a lot of small contributors, and make the power base, the district or state where these congressmen and senators come from, as opposed to the power base being special interest. I ran for the United States Senate. I ran against Arlen Specter. He raised $6 million, and I raised $4 million. We had a great campaign back in 1986. In Pennsylvania, just 3 years ago, the two candidates that ran, they combined raised $37.5 million. Pencil that out and figure out how much they had to raise every day in order to fuel that campaign, most of which went into television ads, mainly negative television ads. It's just getting out of hand. We have the possibility under Citizens United for a rogue corporation to decide they don't like the incumbent president. So on day one of the campaign, they're going to put up $1 billion to trash the candidate they don't like and to support the candidate they do like. That's simply allowing money to rule as opposed to average ordinary citizens having a right to select their elected officials. So we're at a dangerous place in America and in democracy, and the Citizens United case points out once again that money is a corrosive influence.
I had read, and I'm sure you know the particulars around this statistic, but I had read that outside groups in the 2010 midterm election were up 330% over campaign spending in 2006. It's astonishing.
I think they're just warming up for the 2012 election, and I don't think that Americans realize what the impact of corporations and large labor unions getting involved in the political process with corporate and union treasuries. I don't think people are prepared for the kind of money that's going to be spent. Obama has already announced that he's got to raise close to $1 billion for his reelection. I'm sure the other side will match that and then some, given Citizens United.
Well, just a last quick question, if I could, Bob. This is a bigger topic, but we'll try and squeeze it in here. If Common Cause and your allied groups attempt to overturn this case by citing the conflicts of interest of the justices on the Supreme Court, what other avenues do citizens have to really tear down this Citizens United case decision that allows corporations to spend unlimited funds in our elections?
There are two difficult remedies and one more moderate remedy that is very modest. The two most difficult is there are groups, and we're one of them, working on a constitutional amendment to give the Congress of the United States the opportunity to define corporations and regulate money and politics. That's going to take a generation or more to pass. If we couldn't pass the Equal Rights Amendment, we're not going to get that kind of an amendment passed. The second is to urge the next opening on the court to really question their view on this issue. Obviously, that's going to take a sitting justice stepping down. But one more modest remedy is something called the Disclose Act. It passed the House. It got 59 votes in the United States Senate. It would have prevented foreign corporations from investing. It would have prevented large federal contractors who get billions of dollars of federal money from taking that money and turning it around and investing it in for and against particular candidates. It would have demanded that if the Chamber of Commerce or a corporate group is set up and wants to spend money on a campaign, they'd have to fully disclose and be transparent as to who was giving the money. It got 59 votes in the Senate, but because of the filibuster, it failed. Attempts will be made in this Congress to try to turn that around. It would be a big help if the money that is being spent were fully transparent.
Well, Bob Eger, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us tonight and your valiant efforts here to uncover the unholy alliance of the Koch brothers and these justices and how it's really tainted our justice system, it seems. And leave our listeners, if you would, the website for Common Cause so people can get some of the details on this and the other issues you work on.
Just have them go to www.commoncause.org, or if they have specific questions, they can email me at redger@commoncause.org. Keep an eye on us. We're going to confront the Koch brothers on Sunday this week, and we're going to keep up the pressure on the Supreme Court so that it is ethical and that it does serve the public interest.
Bob, thanks a lot for what you do, your efforts on a lot of these issues. Appreciate you being here with us tonight, too.
Best wishes and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye. That was Bob Eger, CEO of the group Common Cause, commoncause.org, to get more details on their challenge to the Citizens United Supreme Court case.